Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this episode, we look at some of James Cagney's best roles. I hope you enjoy the show. Who worked as a bellhop, an architect, a draftsman, a newspaper copy boy, a librarian, and a night porter before becoming an actor? The answer is none other than James Cagney, whom Orson Welles and Stanley Kubrick both cited as one of the greatest ever actors to work in motion pictures. Clint Eastwood has said James Cagney was the reason he became an actor. Pretty high praise for someone who never took an acting lesson in his life. James Cagney was the actor who more or less single-handedly invented the on-screen gangster. I'd like to introduce you to some of his greatest roles. He was three quarters Irish and a quarter Norwegian, and born and raised on the Lower East Side of Manhattan in New York. He stood less than 5'5", but remarkably, he never looks it in any of his roles. His dad was a bartender and an amateur boxer, and he had a desire to become a boxer himself, but his mum dissuaded him from it. He'd learnt to tap dance at 4 years old, and this led him to audition for a role in a revue dressed up as a woman. He got the part and spent 10 years in the revue business. He got married to Frances, who was a chorus girl, and they went to Hollywood to try to break into movies, but with no success. They returned to New York, and in one of the troupes he joined, he replaced Archie Leach, better known as screen legend Cary Grant. He got his first non-dancing role and gained good reviews from critics. Then he starred in a play opposite Joan Blondell and drew praise from none other than Al Jolson, who bought the film rights to the play, which led to interest from film companies. Cagney and Blondell starred in the film version of the play, and by the time the film was finished shooting, his contract had grown in size from only 3 weeks at the start to a massive 7 years by the finish. His second film was called Doorway to Hell, in which he starred under Lou Ayres as a sympathetic gangster called Mileaway. In fact, this type of role was a running theme in Cagney's career. In Taxi in 1931, he starred alongside Loretta Young as a tough, no-nonsense taxi driver up against a big taxi firm who are intent on running independent cabbies like him out of business. Within the first 5 minutes of this film, he's seen to mumble his famous line, "You dirty rat." It was becoming evident by now that his screen presence was to be reckoned with.
I'll be down to get you in a taxi, honey. You better be ready about a 8:30. Now, baby, don't be late. I want to be there when the band starts playing. Remember, when we get there, honey, the two steps, I'm going to have them all. I'm going to dance off both my shoes when they play the Jelly Roll Blues tomorrow night at the Dark Down Strutters Ball. Taxi, honey, you better be ready about 8:30. Now, baby, don't be late. I want to be there when the band starts playing. Remember, when we get there, honey, the two steps, I'm going to have them all. I'm going to dance off both my shoes when they play the Jelly Roll Blues tomorrow night at the Dark Down Strutters Ball. That's all for my shoes when they play the Jelly Roll Blues tomorrow night at the Dark Down Strutters, the Dark Down Strutters Ball.
Later that same year came The Public Enemy, directed by William Wellman, and this was his breakthrough picture. Wellman had said to producer Darrell F. Zanuck, "I'll bring you the toughest, most violent picture you ever did see." Cagney plays a street punk attempting to make it in the world of organised crime. Gene Harlow also stars. It's seen as the birth of the on-screen mobster. It contains a famous scene where Cagney picks up half a grapefruit and rubs it in his girlfriend's face. This really is a classic, and Cagney's charisma oozes from every scene. And this is where Scarface, Goodfellas, and The Godfather started out. After The Public Enemy, he starred in Blonde Crazy, where he's a con man fleecing mostly criminals. It was the fourth of seven pictures he made with Joan Blondell and showed he could handle comedy just as well as action. In 1934, he made He Was Her Man, and this is one of my favourites in his work. He plays Flicker Hayes, a crook who sets up two other crooks who were responsible for putting him in prison. But one of them escapes and is after his blood. The mood of the film is sombre, but it's a great storyline and is very well directed by Lloyd Bacon in a surprisingly modern style. It was the last of the seven films Cagney made with Joan Blondell. Definitely worth watching.
A million people I don't really know. 900.
The next year he played against type as a lawyer turned cop in G-Men, directed by William Keighley and superbly shot by Sol Polito. The script was approved by none other than Edgar J. Hoover, the chief of the FBI, and it's really an advert for the FBI, but nonetheless very good. It was extremely successful at the box office. Initially, Hoover disapproved of the movie as it showed an FBI agent being insubordinate and acting independently. But after it was a success, he realised it could be used to promote his organisation. The film is full-on, powered by Cagney's presence, and being in the early days of the Hays Code, it features some pretty graphic violence that wouldn't have got through a few years later. Cagney shows in this film his ability to inspire and raise the level of acting in the cast members around him.
I'm on needles and pins, say you've got me in a terrible spot. You're like a bill that's overdue, you're an awful worry to me. My heart is willing to settle, it's up to you to agree. There's just one thing to do and you know what. It's positive cure, cause I'm pretty sure it's love that I've got. And it bothers me an awful lot.
Oh, see, you bother me an awful lot. Whenever you're fine, you can't realize the trouble I've got. Oh, gee, you bother me an awful lot. I'm a little sentient, say you got me in a terrible spot. You're like a bill that's overdue, you're an awful worry to me. My heart is willing to settle, it's up to you to agree. There's just one thing to do, and you know what. It's a positive cure, cause I'm pretty sure it's love.
Around this time, Cagney began a dispute with Warner Brothers and refused to accept any work from them. They took him to court and lost the case. He wanted a say in what roles he took. Meanwhile, he made two movies with a small company called Grand National, called Great Guy and Something to Sing About. The company was very excited to have signed him and poured nearly $1 million into making the second film, but it was a flop and was the reason the studio closed down in 1939. Warner Brothers arranged a new contract for Cagney after he won the case, and what followed was Angels with Dirty Faces in 1938, which earned him an Oscar nomination. Cagney and Pat O'Brien play two childhood friends who go different ways. One goes into crime and one becomes a priest. Pat O'Brien, as the priest, tries to stop Cagney influencing the local street kids who look up to him. Michael Curtis directed and did a fine job. It was the first of three films Cagney made with Humphrey Bogart and one of many he made with Pat O'Brien.
Mother's rosary, angels with
He followed his Oscar nomination with a huge hit called Each Dawn I Die, a prison movie co-starring George Raft and directed by William Keighley, who had directed G-Men earlier. Cagney plays a reporter who is framed by a corrupt district attorney for manslaughter. In the prison, he becomes friends with George Raft, and they agree to help each other. That same year, Raoul Walsh made The Roaring Twenties, which put Cagney together with Bogart again. The story follows three men as they return to New York after fighting in World War I and try to make a living during the days of Prohibition. It's a bit overlong, but is a solid picture and conjures up the mood of New York at the time extremely well. Interestingly enough, the montage sequences throughout the film were created by the film's editor, one Don Siegel, who later became a successful director himself, responsible for the Dirty Harry films of Clint Eastwood. The film was so successful it created a wave of nostalgia for music from the 1920s and delayed the making of The Great Gatsby for nearly 10 years because of this.
Come to me, my melancholy baby. Cuddle up and don't be blue. All your fears are foolish fancies, maybe. You know, dear, that I'm in love with you. Every cloud must have a silver lining. Wait until the sun
shines through. Smile, my honey dear, while I kiss away each tear, or else I shall be melancholy too.
This film brought to an end the run of gangster films of James Cagney. It was the cause of all the disputes he'd had with Warner Brothers. He didn't want to be typecast, although his portrayals of criminal types were very good and popular with the public. He said, I quote, "Movies should be entertaining, not bloodbaths. I'm sick of carrying a gun and beating up women." In fact, it was 10 years before Cagney would play a gangster again. He spent most of the 1940s making his own films with his brother William as producer in a company called Cagney Productions, but with little success. And he was forced to go back to Warner Brothers and re-sign with them, and they took over Cagney Productions. He was reunited with Raoul Walsh, the director of The Roaring Twenties, and they made White Heat in 1949, which followed the story of a psychotic gangster called Cody Jarrett. It was a huge success and remains one of Cagney's most memorable performances. The following year, 1950, he was back in the saddle again with Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye, another gangster picture but made by Cagney Productions. It was more of a film noir than White Heat ever was. And there are not one but two femme fatales. It wasn't as successful as White Heat, but is unfairly dismissed when compared to it. Gordon Douglas directed and did a very good job. He went on to direct Them, The Fiend Who Walked the West, and I was a communist for the FBI. Cagney Productions went under not long after, and Cagney continued with Warner Brothers for the rest of his career. And that was the last gangster movie James Cagney made. By now, he was touching 50 years old, and film noir and crime films were waning in popularity. Besides, he wanted to play other types of roles. His early schooling in vaudeville meant he had a gift for comedy, and his singing and dancing skills were top-notch. In fact, he won his only Oscar for his role in Yankee Doodle Dandy in 1942. But that's another story. Thank you for listening.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam. Born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
He's a